Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of the Players Experience Podcast, the series finale. On today's episode, we chat with TSN broadcaster Lindsay Hamilton about her broadcasting career, how she went from the Family Channel to TSN and sports. We talk about her connection with Special Olympics with her mom and my connection with Special Olympics as an athlete. And we talk more about who is the best in charge of the aux cord at TSN and some other fun stories along the way. Thank you to all of our supporters of the show that has followed us on the track from day one. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, wherever you get all your platforms from to follow us on this series finale. Now, without further ado, let's bring Lindsay on and start talking about her career in broadcasting. Hey, Lindsay, how's it going today?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Ryan?
I'm good. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show. How have things been with the sports world right now?
It's a fun time of year. You have NHL playoffs around the corner, NBA playoffs around the corner. We just had the Four Nations face off, which was a absolutely nail-biting game. So I'm very happy that Canada got that win. I think it meant a lot to us, but there's a lot of fun projects on the horizon. I had Curling Day in Canada last weekend, so it's a really fun time of year. What about you? And of course, I saw you recently in Motion Ball, so that added to all the excitement too.
Yeah, things are good on my end. I work for a junior C team called the Clarington Eagles. So they're in the mix of playoffs right now. We're in round two coming up. And then so that's exciting. Then, yeah, the gala was so much fun with Motion Ball. So shout out to them. It's always a good time of year to be part of that event. So I'm glad you got to experience it this year.
100%. It was so nice to see some familiar faces.
Good. Well, I want to chat about you and your broadcasting career and some of the experiences that you've had. So like how and when did you know that you wanted to enter the world of broadcasting?
Probably for as long as I can remember. I don't know if it was specifically broadcasting, but I've always known from a really young age that I've loved people and I've loved sports. I'm the middle child in a family of five. And everyone played sports growing up. It was very much part of our household. And I've always been really curious and I love learning people's stories. I've probably been a little bit of a chatterbox as the middle child in a family of five too. And amongst playing all the different sports as a kid, I also got really involved in theater. And I was doing various theater projects in and around my community. And then when I was about 13 years old, I auditioned for a major motion picture. And to try and keep this as succinct as possible, I didn't get it, but I got down to kind of the final few people. And that put me in touch with a talent agent in Toronto who then kind of opened the door to what acting was like. So I was out auditioning for various TV shows and movies and commercials. And I really got to dip my toe into what that world was like simultaneously, playing sports pretty much 7 days a week as well. And it was when I was 18 years old that an audition came up for the Family Channel to host a weekly segment on the Family Channel. I ended up booking that job, and that led to almost a 5.5 year job with Family, also interviewing Disney Channel stars, traveling throughout North America. And it was that experience that I really just discovered this is what I want my career to be. And because I had the love for sport after working in entertainment for a long time, probably about midway through university, I started to really veer into sports. And that's when I kind of did the 180 within entertainment to sports and traveled along that path. But it's been a long path. As I mentioned, I've been doing it since I was a kid, but it's been really fun.
No, that's really cool. Yeah, your journey to TSN started really early from you. And as you mentioned, you hosted the Family Channel. And since then, you've been onto the Grey Cup. You've been a host of the Marlies. You've done so many different things, and touching base on the entertainment stars that you've tried with stars like Justin Bieber as well. What's it like going from your experiences in entertainment with Family Channel to your career in sports, and how does that all tie in together?
I actually think there's a lot of similarities, and sometimes people think, oh, there must be two really different worlds. But first and foremost, I think the knowledge that you gain just being on a film set, and I'm so thankful that I was kind of able to figure out what I wanted to do a little bit earlier, because it allowed me to get that experience really early on and just be a sponge on set and learn what everyone's roles are. I think even as a child on a set, you're with working adult professionals. So It really helps you become a little bit more mature in that sense of, okay, these are what people are doing for their livelihood. I have to come prepared. I need to have my lines memorized or know my notes or have done my research. So that really helps. And all those skills transfer. I'd say similar to knowing you're an athlete, you learn how to multitask. And that's really helpful then in the workforce or while managing your school load. And I think as well, at the end of the day, a broadcaster is really trying to be a good storyteller. You're trying to tell a story to your audiences and let them come into that story and be a part of that world. So if you can really hone in on that, whether it's an interview with Justin Bieber or, you're interviewing a hockey player and you're finding out about his story and where he grew up and that he was hitting the ice every day at the age of 5 and he was, out in the backyard, mom and dad. Whatever that story is, I think if you can keep that at the heart of your interview and your storytelling, that's probably going to translate really well to the audiences. So there's quite a few similarities in that regard.
And I have to say, you do a fantastic job. And that's not just because you're a guest on here. I love seeing you on TSN Sports Center. It's like the work that you do, it's really cool to see. And the chemistry that some of you, with you and your colleagues, but especially Kara Wagland have, it's a lot of fun to see just the, like you said, the storytelling and how welcoming people have into their homes. It definitely resonates on TV for sure.
Well, thanks, Ryan. I appreciate that. You're doing a great job as an interviewer yourself, I have to say. My hat's off to you.
I
And I
try,
think, too,
I
to your
try.
point about having fun, I feel really grateful that I work in a fun environment. I mean, for the most part, obviously, there are times when sports is very serious and it needs to be, whether talking about, big issues or the political climate. Simultaneously, most of the time, people often go to sports as a little bit of an escape sometimes. And that's their chance to kind of block out the rest of the world and just dive into their favorite team. And I think that comes across, at least for me, when I'm watching some of my favorite broadcasters. If they're having a great time, that energy is contagious. You're seeing them loving their job, diving into a highlight pack, really excited about the game. That's going to come across, and I think that energy is going to translate through the screen. So I think that's always important to keep at the front of mind too.
Talking about how much fun we have with colleagues and off the set, I have to ask you this because he's going to be a guest on the show as part of the series finale. I got your colleague James Duffy joining me as well. So, what would you say
Love it.
the fun attribute that Duffy brings to the set? And I'm going to ask him the exact same question about you, so it'll be interesting.
Oh, you're putting me on the spot here, Ryan. A fun attribute that James brings. I don't know if I want to get too sappy, but James is like the epitome of a wonderful team player. Like, I remember even when I was new to TSN, maybe your first time doing a different broadcast, like, he'll be the one texting you, hey, you're going to crush this broadcast, or you did a really great job. He always has an open ear if you have a question or you want some more information about something. He's just a really down-to-earth good guy. And I know we all grind his gears and we like to play up that narrative of Mr. Forbes, this new middle name now making the rounds. But he's just a genuinely good person. And he's really funny too. He's quick. And I say about some of the broadcasters I looked up to, I think James is just such a professional in his space in that storytelling. He keeps that always at the heart of it. And he has such a beautiful way of like piecing everything together. And you see that on days like Trade Center or Free Agent Frenzy. We got Trade Center coming up next Friday. Those are long broadcast days. And I don't know if everyone at home realizes like sometimes you are in that chair for 8, 10 hours and it's not scripted and you have a million people talking to you and you're kind of directing the flow of traffic. As far as broadcasting jobs go, like those are difficult days just because you have so many things on the fly. So he's a master at his craft
And
and a
yeah,
great person, more
I'm glad
importantly.
you mentioned his nickname, Mr. Forbes, because when I do the introduction, I'm gonna be like, "Hey, Mr. Forbes, how's it going today?" And see what he says right off the rip.
Is starting to gain a little bit of attention, I guess, in the past few months, but someone thought Forbes might have been his first name.
Okay.
And then I sent him a text and I was like, whoa, whoa, I need to get the truth on this rumor. And he's like, no, this is spreading across the network. I don't know why. So, yes, Ryan, be sure to work in Forbes and get his reaction.
Yeah, perfect. Now, in 2016, you helped cover the Rio Olympics with CBC before being brought onto TSN in the fall of that year. How was it for you to cover your first really major competition with the Rio Olympics and then make that move to TSN?
That was fantastic. I still look back on that summer and just the amount of excitement I had going into work each day, which I'm really thankful I still have been covering the Paris Olympics this past summer. And I think for me, covering the Rio 2016 Olympics was really special because, as I said, when I was a kid, I always loved people and loved sports. And I vividly remember sitting on the floor watching the Olympics on my TV screen and thinking to myself, man, wouldn't that be a cool job to be a broadcaster at the Olympics? Brenda Irving, who is a broadcaster at CBC, she'd covered a lot of figure skating, gymnastics. She was one of the early broadcasters I looked up to when I was just a kid. And it was a really neat full circle moment to then see her decades later at CBC and being involved in the coverage myself. And I think so often in this industry, you very much have your eye on the next goal and you're trying to always grow, and that's a wonderful characteristic. But simultaneously, I think it's really important to take those moments of pause and soak it all in and say, like, hey, we made this come true. Like, this dream is here. Also, enjoy it as much as possible. And that was definitely a moment I had at the 2016 Olympics.
No, that's great. And yeah, just to be able to get to that level and be able to cover like a new avenue, if you will, or a new world, is that definitely one to that's one for the memory books for sure. And here's to many more Olympic coverage in the future as well, you know? So
Thanks, Ryan. And I think too, and you can probably relate to this, like whether it's, obviously Special Olympics, we have the Turin Games coming up just around the corner. I think it's a tournament that brings your country together just because it has that national element to it. And, maybe not everyone has a favorite sports team, whether it's NHL, NBA, MLB, but there's something about the Olympics that just pulls out everyone. And all of a sudden, they're finding out the story of an athlete they didn't know, and they're learning about their life history. And for those few weeks, they're just so enamored and wrapped up by the games. And I think that's a really neat component of it.
yeah, definitely. And since I've gone to two national games myself, one in Vancouver in 2014, and then most recently in 2018 in Antigonish, it's crazy to see not only the coverage that gets cut, like that Special Olympics brings, but just the environment that your people like yourselves that cover the games enjoys, the participants enjoy. Like being able to share stories as athletes is huge. And yeah, it just brings a more like commemorative aspect to any like major competition as well.
It's taking me not to put my interview hat on because I really want to ask what your favorite memory is from those experiences. Can I ask?
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, 100%. So it's a little bit of an interesting story. So in 2014, I'm like one of the guys that's a bit of a utility player. So I pitch, I play first, are my two primary positions now. I used to play third as well a little bit. But during the 2014 games, our main pitcher actually fell in love with a girl from Saskatchewan that was there.
Oh,
And
wow, some romance. Okay.
yeah. So then he couldn't really focus on the task at hand, which I get, I understand. So he's pitching, he's struggling, hitting the plate a little bit. So then my coach goes like, "Ryan, you're gonna start pitching." I was like, "Oh, okay." So like we get kind of through it, we get into the bronze match, we win the bronze. That was before the bronze match, but then she said, "Okay, you're gonna start the bronze competition." So we ended up winning bronze that game or that competition, which was my first nationals. And I was like, "Okay, this was great." I wasn't too upset about it, but as kind of like the next 4 years led in, and we were looking stronger and stronger as a team, we knew we had a chance at another nationals competition. So fast forward to 2018, going to Antigonish. My dad's side of the family all lives in New Brunswick, so they
Oh, I've
actually
been to
some,
Antigonish as well.
yeah. So
Great spot.
my family ended up coming out, and so I have my mom, my dad, my aunt, and my grandma coming to watch the
Special.
gold medal game. And then on top of that, we ended up doing like a little like family visitation afterwards. So I ended up feeling like it was like a Stanley Cup tour or something afterwards, because it was cool
Oh,
to
that's
like
awesome.
go around and show the gold medal off and things like that. So that would be like my highlight moment from Special Olympics so far.
Oh, that's so cool. And I love that all your family got to go out there and support you and be a part of that experience.
Yeah, it
Although I
was.
have to ask, on the romance, what's the follow-up? Did they end up together? Does this have a happy ending? I'm so curious.
I think they talked like for a little bit. She lived in Saskatchewan though, so
So long distance.
a little long distance travel. So
Okay.
yeah, no, it was definitely interesting at the time for sure. Now, talking about sports, and the most important question I think I might have to ask you today. Obviously, there's some fun off the set at work, and there's music playing in the background. And music is a big attribute to any sports, like anchor, athlete, whoever it might be. So, who would be the one person that you would give the aux cord to that would be like the main person to jam to some tunes with?
Okay. So this is a tough one because we all have different styles of music, and I love everyone's own expression of personality. And you'd laugh. It was just, was it last night, 2 nights ago, that I was playing ABBA on set because I'm a big ABBA fan. I don't know if my entire production crew would say the same thing, but I love it as like a little bit of a pump up. So it was before the show. And I had a song going, and then they're like, okay, we are like a 10 second count. It's like, okay, I'll turn this off. But I think I would give the aux cord to Jay Onwright because he used to have a pod and he would do an annual ranking of different albums. And he's very much immersed into the music scene. He would often have different musicians on. I remember I was a guest on his podcast, and we had Max Herrmann from the Arkells on as well. So he is quite well versed when it comes to musicians and what the latest album coming out is. So I think he'd be pretty good in the aux cord because he'd know what the new latest jams are.
You know what?
That'd be
That's
mine.
great. That's very fitting. I could definitely see it having a good variety for sure.
And if the crowd wasn't feeling it, I feel like he'd have enough knowledge like, okay, we're changing the vibe. We're taking it into a different direction. So I trust him. I trust Jay with the aux cord.
That's perfect. Now, outside of TSN, we talked a little bit about Special Olympics and my journey, but I want to talk about your new journey with Special Olympics as you currently are our newest member in the board of directors. What does that mean to be for you to be able to give back to the community and be part of local events and be on the board and come to like the motion ball events that we've seen each other at and things like that?
I just feel so privileged to be a part of the Special Olympics board. I've known about Special Olympics for as long as I can remember because it's a pretty neat story. My mom was actually taught by Dr. Frank Haydon when she was a student at Western University.
Okay.
So for as long as I can remember, my mom would always tell me about the work of Dr. Frank Haydon and the growth of Special Olympics and how incredible it was. Fast forward, Dr. Frank Haydon actually lived in the same building as my grandparents. So then I remember as a young adult, I got to meet Dr. Frank Haydon in person and talk to him about what he's done for Special Olympics. Fast forward, I get to TSN and I find out that they have a really special partnership with Special Olympics. And I just told everyone, I'd really love to lean into this. This is something that's been close to my heart for years. I love everything Special Olympics stands for. Just in the way that sport can bring people together. And they do that just through opening people's hearts about what is possible for anyone with an intellectual disability and just to create spaces that everyone feels safe and included. And what Dr. Frank Haydon has done with that, and just to see it almost come full circle, because then hosting the Limitless Gala a few years ago, I brought my mom. She's sitting at the table beside Dr. Frank Haydon. And it was this really beautiful, almost serendipitous moment of seeing it all come together. So being able to be even more involved with Special Olympics and all the various projects they do throughout the year, it's just been a real honor for me. And yeah, I hope I can just kind of continue to lean in and help in any aspect.
No, and that's incredible. And just having that full circle moment, like full circle moments are incredible one way or the other. But to really, like you said, have your mom be a student and then be able to have an evening and share that together and to see the work that's come over the last 20, 30, 40 years, that's incredible to see.
And I think, Ryan, as my time with Special Olympics continues to grow, it's also creating relationships with people like yourself. And I mentioned attending Motion Ball, and I got to see a lot of the athletes that I've gotten to know over the past few years, be it at different events, whether it's a ball hockey tournament or, the Tim Hortons Special Olympics donut campaign. You never have to pull too hard to get me to eat donuts for a good cause, but different things like that. And then you start to just have a relationship with the athletes. And I think that's what Special Olympics does so well. It's not just being part of the board or helping out with various events, it's actually getting to know the athletes and just learning how talented you guys are, how hardworking you are. And I mean, I think it always probably sounds a little cliche, but that's what's always drawn me to sport. It's the values of sport that you learn. Teamwork, being coachable, determination, goal setting, just the wonderful characteristics that sports creates in people. And I think it's just a phenomenal organization. And I love to be able to meet the athletes and get to know them a little better.
No, and that's incredible. And it's definitely, I can't say this enough. It's been a pleasure getting to meet you and get to know you so far. So I know that that journey is going to continue. And talking about the experiences and the dedication that you have with the athletes and seeing the camaraderie, what advice would you give to future broadcasters that may be watching this episode and want to know how they can get into broadcasting themselves and kind of maybe, or maybe even get into Special Olympics and volunteer and kind of get into a larger role?
Yeah, I'd probably give a few different pieces of advice, Ryan. I'd say the first one, something that was really helpful for me in my own career journey, is reach out to people who are in positions that you're curious about. And sometimes you won't hear back from them. Sometimes they'll say no, but sometimes you'll get a yes. And if it's just a quick phone conversation or you meet up for a quick coffee and just learn a little bit about their life and what their role looks like. And I think more often than not, people are more than happy to give you 15, 30 minutes of their day to kind of explain what their job is and how they got to that position. And that was extremely beneficial for me and just learning more about what it is exactly I want to do. I'd also say, maybe sounds a little cliche, but as much as possible, the better you know yourself, what motivates you, what your values are, what your why is, that's going to help really kind of steer your own internal compass about what it is you want to do in life. And I think probably lead you into roles that are much more in tune with who you are, which feel like you can get into the flow state that people talk about now, and just that feels very gratifying to you. And again, maybe that's not everyone's 9 to 5 role, and that's okay. But then what can you do outside of work that really fills your cup? And maybe it's an organization like Special Olympics where you can volunteer as a coach, you're volunteering with one of the events, and that's what brings you a lot of joy and how you give back. But I think if you can really kind of hone in and say, okay, what is it I want to do? And how do I want to spend my time? And who do I want to surround myself with? If you can answer those questions, I think it can really help steer you in the right direction.
Well, those are some great words of wisdom and some great advice. Lindsay, I appreciate you taking the time to be on the show today. This chat has been super fun, and I can't wait to see you at some more Special Olympic events. I know if you're in Brantford in the summer, come by and see me play some baseball. That's all I gotta say. But
I'm hosting the game, so I will see you. I'll be there.
yeah, I'll be there playing some softball, so it'll be fun. And
Can't
yeah,
wait.
I'm excited for what's next. So thank you for taking the time. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me as a guest on the pod. It's such a pleasure to be on and seeing the sports cave behind you that I'm going to get the tour to. I'm really excited. But you did an awesome job as a host, and I can't wait to listen to the future guests as well. I know you said you're having Duffy on, so I'll be sure to keep my ear out for that podcast. But yeah, it's been such a pleasure getting to know you and being involved in Special Olympics. So thanks for having me on, Ryan.
Awesome. Thanks. Take care.